This is Rocky Mountain Voices, powered by PodTech.
Welcome to the Rocky Mountain Voices and Connect weekly podcast.
Hi, this is Tiffany Tetra with Rocky Mountain Voices, and I'm here with Colin Kelly, executive editor for Connect, and we're here for this week's ConnectCast. Welcome, Colin.
Hey, Sydney.
Well, great. Well, this week we had a couple of great things that we should discuss. The first one being an announcement that just came out this morning, which was the V100 Top 100 Venture Entrepreneurs in the region, with ties back to Utah. It's sponsored by VSpring Capital, and the list just came out this morning. Colin, any kind of thoughts on the list? I believe this is the fifth year that this has been established, and basically it's a peer-selected group of people, and it's become one of kind of the great statements, I think, about venture entrepreneurs in the state.
It really has. You know, I think we need to congratulate Dennis Wood and all the people at VSpring Capital for starting this V100 list, and it's grown into it's grown into to one of the institutions in the state of Utah in terms of seeing kind of who's who in the economic landscape. And VSpring wanted to start it to help recognize outstanding entrepreneurs and recognize maybe the top 100 people with ties to Utah who would be either are currently running a venture capital worthy business or would be most likely to run a venture capital worthy business. And the list is a phenomenal list. Congratulations to you, Sydney, I think this is your fourth time on the list in a row. That's pretty cool.
Thank you.
I've yet to make it, but I need to increase my lobbying efforts next year. You look down the list and it's just, you know, literally every major entrepreneur, every major CEO, people, you know, that are huge in marketing, public relations, and they really are, you know, some of the most important people that are driving the economy in Utah and helping to make Utah still the fastest growing economy in the country. So far, we've been isolated to a lot of the downturns that the rest of the country has seen, and this is a good reason for
that's
that.
That's right. You know, every time I talk to Dennis about the program, what I like about the program and what I think it does is it provides a solid base of recognition, but it's also this peer-selected group. So anyone can nominate anyone, and then they basically end up with a list, and then all of the people in that list get to go back through and vote for a number of people, and then they tally those results, and I can't remember which audit firm they used to go through that. But what the nice part about it is even in the expanded list, you get to start seeing those people who are making their ways up through the ranks or who will also be influencers in the community in addition to the V100. And the V100 has really become a great community of people that no matter if you're on the V100 list this year or you were on it last year, you're all becoming part of the same community for conversations and for networking and for knowledge to be passed along. And I think that's one of the powerful things about it. It is really, no matter what discipline you come out of, a group of people that you can rely on and form relationships with as you go into your next venture and as you work on companies and the opportunities and challenges facing those companies. I think that's one of the great things that they've provided with this platform.
It seems like, you know, there are a lot of networking opportunities in the state of Utah, especially along the Wasatch Front. But I've been to a couple of V100 events, and there's definitely a different feeling there. And, you know, Sydney, you would know more than I would, but it seems like people really do talk and get together. And I'm not sure if this is intended or not by VSpring. I'm sure it was. But I think a lot of people are really learning and growing from this interaction with some of the other top players in the state.
Exactly. You know, whether it's the awards lunch that they'll do here in a couple of months or the monthly lunches they do at VSpring with the VSpring partners and other members of the V100, it does. It just expands that community in those conversations. And kudos to the VSpring guys for being willing to invest in that, because I think it is really, really valuable for our community. Which kind of leads in, and I think dovetails well into the second item we wanted to talk about, which was that the University of Utah was ranked second, only behind MIT, in the number of technology startups that it has spun out based on the 2006 numbers, which is pretty awesome. for a research institution and for what that means for our local technology companies and spin-offs and even the venture capital coming into the state.
Yeah, it's a real testament to the fact that the vision that some people had a few years ago about how to transform technology commercialization at the university level here in Utah is really paying off. And so a couple of weeks ago, the Association for the University Technology Managers, which is a group that ranks public and private research institutions throughout the country, came out with their 2006 numbers. And, you know, granted, they're only 2006 numbers, but the University of Utah produced 20 companies spun out of university-developed technology during 2006, and only behind MIT, which only had 3 additional companies. MIT spun out 23 companies during 2006. And I already know the numbers for 2007 are going to be higher. I think we're closer to 25 companies. And this is a direct result of Jack Britton, who's the dean of the business school at the University of Utah, and he's also now the vice president of technology venture development. And a handful of other people, including the governor, Brian Cummings, and a few others, who saw that there was this great wealth of technology being developed at the university, but very, very few of these ideas were actually making it to the market. And that was because the structure was all flawed. And up until a few years ago, if you as a businessman or you as a university professor wanted to take something developed at the university and actually spin it out into a business, you had to pay these huge licensing costs to the state universities, whether it was the U or University of Utah or Utah State, which are the two largest ones here in Utah producing technology. And so those upfront costs were very cost prohibitive. And because of that, the technology commercialization offices, they were operated under the charter of you had to at least break even. So they, you know, at any given year, you may have 500 to 1,000 ideas generated at the University of Utah, but the TCO office would look at that and they would only patent the 3 or 4 most promising ones, and then they would try to license that technology for these huge sums of money up front, and then you would have to pay large royalty fees on the back end as well. And it really made it hard to get a company started around that technology. Well, thanks to a law pushed through the Utah State Legislature, now universities can actually take an equity stake in companies instead of having to charge those big fees up front. And so in addition to that, Jack Britton at the University of Utah has put together a whole pipeline in place that takes the university developed technologies. It identifies, you know, now which 20, 30, 50, 100 of those technologies could actually become viable companies taking some kind of product or service to the marketplace. And then they work on finding people that want to take that technology and actually take it to market. And it's an astounding process, and you've seen the fruits of what happened. And now we produced 20 companies in 2006, probably 25 or more in 2007. And it's going to grow at an exponential rate, particularly because now that we have USTAR in the mix, and Ted McClair and his staff at USTAR have been combing the country with a really fat wallet and going to top research teams and saying, here's money, come move to Utah and come work here. And so USTAR is hoping to spin off a total of at least 400 companies over its existence. And so this will be very exciting to track these numbers through 2007, 2008, and into the future.
That's right. And I think it's also just plays so well into what our community, the core competencies of our community. We have an amazing startup culture. We have a phenomenal amount of talent and money that help drive those companies and build them to kind of that $20, $50 million threshold where the majority of our companies then get acquired. But it's just a perfect transition and a perfect climate for that, which I think is also adds to that unique combination, because not only do we have technology research that's coming out of the university and starting companies, but we have the people who can then take it and actually do something with it in the marketplace, which is one of the other key ingredients, I think, that makes it even possible for that to happen. And then in addition to that, we just wanted to quickly touch about a growing trend that I think all professionals are seeing, but specifically around Facebook. I know we have a couple of companies here who are, you know, heads down building applications on Facebook. One of them that Paul Allen created, the We're Related, I believe it was in the first 30 days they launched in October, they had over 120,000 users of their application. And they're continuing to do that with more applications, but we're also seeing communities organic grow that get established and organically grow. So, Colin, I know you guys have created one for Connect Magazine that has done really well. And the V100 group also just created one to bring those communities together. And it really is becoming a platform that you have to participate on as a professional. Just as an interesting stat, we did a survey with the Women Tech Council to figure out resources we should do. And there's this growing trend where the stats were 70% of our membership were in LinkedIn, 30% were not. And then the inverse was true in Facebook. So only 30% were on Facebook and 70% were not. But what we're seeing is that trend is growing faster and faster now, more so than, you know, LinkedIn has kind of hit that hockey stick and it's leveling off. And now we're seeing the same thing start to happen in Facebook with applications and professionals going there for resources.
Yeah, and, you know, I hope LinkedIn isn't going to be in trouble because I've enjoyed LinkedIn. But I was really late to the Facebook party myself. But I, for whatever reason, I find myself using Facebook a lot more. And it seems like everyone I know is now moving to where they use Facebook and LinkedIn together. But I don't think people are going to really like that. And with the addition of custom Facebook apps, particularly something like Linking Universe, which is being developed by David Bradford, who has ties to Utah through Novell, they're trying to convert Facebook into something that's even better than LinkedIn, you know, using the Facebook apps that you can plug in. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Cindy, what's the name of the Utah Facebook developers group so people can track that?
Oh yeah, we have one group called Utah CEOs that develop Facebook applications, and that group's been real working really well together. I know we have your group, Connect Magazine, the group there that also does lots of, you know, obviously tracking news and interactions there. And then there's a couple of other ISV ones. If you actually just go to the Utah's, if you look up the Utah CEO for Facebook applications, it will show you a whole bunch of related groups that other people are contributing to there.
Great.
So with that, I think that ends this week's edition of the ConnectCast. We hope you join us next week. Thank you.
This has been a Rocky Mountain Voices podcast. Visit us on the internet at www.rockymountainvoices.com.